Professor George Lopez has devoted his career to resolving conflicts. He's an expert on international sanctions and has worked to develop strategies to deal with Iraq and North Korea. He's also the Hesburgh Professor of Peace Studies Emeritus at the Kroc Institute at the University of Notre Dame. Professor Lopez joins me in the studio today. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
From your experience, do human beings really want peace? I mean, is there something ingrained in us that we just like to settle disputes violently?
I don't know if it's ingrained, but it's certainly learned. And for some, the experience of violence may have been so intense at formative periods of their life, it appears to be ingrained. But we do believe that people can be trained and can have opportunities open to them that create different pathways. And it's very important for those of us who've been fortunate not to necessarily be traumatized by past violence to be able to bridge to those who have been. Peace is defined very differently by one's situation of violence. There's a peace that, oh, it's a good thing the bombing has stopped. That brings us peace. Mm-hmm. There's a peace that guarantees that the bombing will stop for all time and that we can get on with economic development. And then there's a peace in which there's no shooting, no one's disappearing us in the dead of night, no one's bombing us, but we get 20% of the wages that everybody else gets. And why is that? Is that our religion, our race, our ethnicity? The latter is what we call the just peace and how you create peace with justice. So in some respects, there are peace stepping stones that we want to have clarity on, because just stopping the shooting isn't enough.
There is certainly a lot of reporting these days focused on how the country is deeply divided, rich against poor, Democrats against Republicans, people who sit during the national anthem, those who stand. And I think maybe next week we'll be fighting over the merits of vanilla ice cream versus chocolate. How have we arrived at a point like this?
Well, we're a society that has a beautiful multi-character to it, whether it's ethnically, religiously. We're still, in many respects, a rural-urban culture in ways that I think the last election showed us the demographics of. We've arrived at it because maybe that's what the United States was meant to be, a heterogeneous community. What we've lost is the ability to find ways socially, politically, religiously, to embrace the heterogeneity and make it a strength. You contrasted things in your question, and it made me think of the old Dr. Seuss book, Sneetches. We might not fight over ice cream, but embedded in Sneetches is the dilemma of the other. Mm-hmm. And in my field, we say, we can train people for conflict resolution and conflict transformation because we begin with the premise that conflict is natural to human beings, but it doesn't necessarily need to lead to violence or destruction. So how do you create constructive conflict and work with it as a human being? Because we've all done that since we were socialized in families. We do it in communities. It's been made a strength before, but it seems in the last 10 to 20 years, in fact, people have tried to outmuscle each other, either with verbiage or with tools or with guns, and the constructive dynamic of conflict hasn't been at the forefront. And I think that's what needs to happen. The political and media and educational sectors that we're all in play a role because we're the people who help polarize as opposed mm-hmm. to make the bridges. Mm-hmm. And the making of the bridges and the roll up your sleeves and do the hard work of conflict dialogue is where we need to go.
Let's turn to international concerns. President Donald Trump has decided to decertify the Iran nuclear deal. How does this decision change the landscape if our goal is to create a more secure and peaceful world?
At the risk of sounding partisan, because that's not the way I mean it, this, I fear, will prove to be one of the most disastrous foreign policy decisions one can make. Now, on the one hand, we have some people saying, well, he's just kicked the can on the road to Congress and they're going to make. But there are three or four dimensions of this that are critical. The first is can any future nation trust the United States when they make a deal? To have the president, who's supposed to understand the art of making a deal, to understand if you're going to do away with a deal, you better have a replacement that meets the needs of your foe as well as meets your own needs. But instead, to just dump it in the garbage can is costly at every level for every future negotiation we have, from trade deals to security deals. And I think he's been remarkably immature and short-sighted about that. Secondly, the very model that the Iran process exemplified, multiple nations, in a sense, aligned around a table against an aspiring nuclear power, is the model most likely to work with North Korea, even though North Korea is already a nuclear power. If you have any hope to make sure that Kim Jong-un sees the prospect of negotiating with the United States as useful, you've just obliterated the model that would be the path to that.
Professor George Lopez from the University of Notre Dame, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much.